Bandwidth for Vagary.tv podcast provided by CashFly at CashFly.com. That's CacheFly.com.
My beer is stronger than yours, Jeff.
I don't doubt that.
Mine's 11.4% by volume.
You know, like the 120 minutes, like 18%?
18, yeah, so, the 120 minute, the worldwide stout, and they have one more beer that's like that too, the Fort, which is the strongest fruit beer in the world. It's like a raspberry beer.
Weird.
It also comes in like a champagne-sized bottle. So I got one once, and I was like, my wife, I was like, you know, let's split the bottle. And she made me drink the whole thing. She, like, took a sip and didn't want any more.
Is it good?
Oh, it was delicious, but it was 18%. It was like drinking, like, I don't know.
It's weird.
Beers at that rate.
It's weird. Like, the 120 minute, it doesn't have any, like, it's, like, that strong, but it doesn't taste boozy at all. And
right?
the 90 minute does. It's weird. Like, the 90 minute is my least favorite of the three.
Alright, so I once went to a Dogfish Head Ale House, and they had 120 minute, and they had their Worldwide Stout on tap. I had a glass of each. I was like, I'm fine. I stood up, I'm like, whoa. Okay, maybe not.
Writing all this down, Chris?
No.
That would have been a great intro to the podcast, but we ruined it.
And welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 153.
Damn it!
I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
That was too inventive. How dare you?
So I might even leave that. I might even just totally leave that in. I wasn't paying any attention to it, so
I have. Yeah,
because you don't have a sufficient respect for barley wine. That's what it is.
I was reading Twitter.
Me too.
And
wine is more important than Twitter.
Jeff is here. So, did you explain barley wine? Is that what I missed?
I missed what were we talking about?
We were talking about, I don't know, really strong beer. My beer is 11.4%, and we're talking like 18% beers.
What is, oh wait, it just does have it's 6%. Whatever, it tastes really good.
Yeah. All the Dogfish Head beers are, you know,
what's the
delicious and strong?
Do you like the Reason to Be one?
Raison d'être?
Yes,
it's very good.
You want to sound French about it. I thought about buying it the other day, but I was like, ah, fuck the French.
That beer's won a couple national awards.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so it's the 90 minute, but I didn't like the 90 minute. Like,
you didn't like the 90 minute?
I'm not gonna like throw it out of bed, but I wasn't like. I like 60 minute more than 90, strangely enough. It's weird. I want another one.
Yeah. Too bad. Drink some water.
So it's been a interesting week since E3, so I guess we should hop into what we've been playing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jeff?
I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing and a little bit of Last of Us. What would you like to hear about there, Chris?
Let's kick off with Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I want to hear your impressions, because you know what my impressions are. It's Animal Crossing. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm still not sure what that means, and I put 12 hours into it. I don't know what the fuck the game is. It's like you do house chores, like not house chores, but like you go around, you weed, you pick fruit, you catch bugs, you dig holes, and for some reason there's fossils in them, and you sell everything.
You're not donating to the museum at all?
Well, you donate like shit to the museum. I'm not sure what the benefit of that is either.
Just
outside of that, I don't have money. And then you sell everything to you know, this little lady that runs a little shop called retail or something like that. You pick up seashells. You talk to people.
You're not telling me on this. This does not sound.
I have no idea. But it is. I'll say this. It is retardedly addictive.
I'm happy to hear that. I was waiting to see what your assessment is.
I played it every day since it's come out. I mean that's what 10 days now, 11 days. And there are other games that, you know, you sit down, you play every day, but I don't know why I keep sitting down to play it. It makes no sense.
Because you never know. I think what keeps you coming back is you never know what you might see. Because there is things that just happen randomly, what is he on the beach? The seagull guy?
Oh yeah, there's a drunk seagull that just keeps. He looks like Donald Duck. He's wearing a sailor outfit, and he passed out on the beach every once in a while. You wake him up and he goes, and then he passes back out. It's what the hell is going on here?
He was partying it up. What about, have you gotten access to the island?
I just got access to it today. The old mayor just showed up and said, hey, I'm going to have a boat come by every day and you can go to the island. So I'll check that out tomorrow. But yeah, don't understand what the game is, but...
Well, basically, all it is kind of what you said. There's fishing, there is... What else? You know, digging for fossils, all that shit, bug hunting. And then you're, you know, basically doing everything to make a sweet-ass house. So you'll keep expanding your house, you'll get, a basement. I don't know if you get a second floor, I can't remember. And then, essentially at one point, you will completely pay off your house, and at least in the original GameCube one, they would build a big gold statue of you in the center of the town to, commemorate you doing that. And if there is an end game, that's it. But, really, the fun of it is just going through the seasons. There will be different bugs and different fish and stuff in different seasons. You know, you play on Christmas. It's Christmas in the game. You'll get presents and stuff from the animals. There actually will be a reindeer dude dressed up like Santa somewhere in the town. If they haven't removed Christmas, I forgot they removed it. There's Halloween, when everyone's wearing masks and stuff for Halloween. I don't know. I can't describe why it's so awesome, but it's the most pointless game ever, but it's awesome.
It doesn't sound interesting at all.
Dude, Jeff was telling me about it before the launch, and I'm this sounds so stupid, and that's still my take on it. It's so fucking dumb.
It is.
But I keep playing it. I want to turn it on every little, because every couple hours more seashells show up on the beach, and I can go down and pick them up and make money off of them. And it's I don't understand it, because the money's really not worth anything.
You can expand your house.
Right, that's it.
Also, they did add some stuff to this game. You could do way more with the town than you could before. Before, once in a while, you'd run into somebody and they'd be you want me to build a bridge? And you'd be sure. But now, since you're the mayor, you have kind of more control over the whole town, where you're I want to build a bridge here. I want to do this. I want to do that. I just set an ordinance that we're now a night owl town, so all the shops stay open till 2 a.m., which is really, really... really nice. I love it. That alone, 5 stars. I wish they would add more to it. These activities that are in here are the same activities that were in the GameCube one, over 10 years ago. So it's I don't know what else you could come up with, but there's got to be other activities you could do. I don't know, something, geocaching, something.
Now, didn't in the original, you had the ability to, I guess you donated or whatever, and, you could get old Nintendo games. Is that no longer in the game, or
that's one of the reasons I say the GameCube one's still the best. But you would, on your birthday, your mom would send you a Nintendo game. Often in the balloons that were floating, with the presents on them.
Okay.
There would be Nintendo games in there. And I actually had I had Punch Out in my house. It was awesome. You go in your house, and when you put the present down in your house, it looks like an NES. And you just walk up to it and play the game. It's really cool.
But that's gone now.
That's long gone. Because that's a shame. I think that, you know, ever since the sequels came out, there were eShops, basically.
Right.
So, like, you know, I did the virtual console and all that, that, you know, they should not be cheap asses. They should throw you a few in there just for fun.
Right, like even ones, like, give me Balloon Fight or something.
Yeah, give me something like I don't care about, but it's just the fact that it's there is cool. Donkey Kong would be really nice, please. But yeah, it's not going to happen. I guarantee you they're not in here.
Yeah, so that's Animal Crossing. I have peaches and pears and oranges and cherries.
Dude, I got from the tropical island, I got bananas and mangoes. Pro tip, here's, because I lost a lot doing this, like testing it out. Bananas only grow on the beach, like, so you have to plant those trees on the beach, and mangoes, you have to plant them, like, in regular soil.
Like, in, okay.
Got so, open grass.
So, like, with the rest of your orchard.
Yes.
But if you want to grow anything on the, like, if you want to grow bananas, you have to grow them on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. All right. So I don't think we're selling Tony on this at all.
No.
You could celebrate Halloween.
It's funny
I have lots of games where I could just sit around and waste my time already. I don't really need them.
I mean, this is literally what that is. It is a time waster.
It is the most stress-free game ever, though. Like, you're just
just
I'm
go
just
in, like,
whatever I want.
Like, there's some, like, raccoon dude that's like, you owe me money, but he doesn't really hound you about it, so.
Yeah, like, no interest, loan, like, pay it back whenever you want.
Yeah, and, like, when you pay him back, he's like, oh, I knew you'd pay me back. You're so good.
Yeah.
It's so, like, positive.
The thing is, like, it was revolutionary for its time, I thought. Like, picture GameCube when it first came out and this game coming out. Like, there was nothing ever like this. I don't think there really has been since, but, like, they just haven't pushed it forward enough.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty cool, like, in the fact that, I mean, the one day I was in your town and Aaron was there, and then on another day I went into Ray's town. And, Bobby's town, Zephyr, and just, like, you know, drop shit off, and they trade shit with you, and...
You should, when you go to their town, write their animals letters, because then when they talk to their animals, they'll be like, oh, you want to see this letter that Chris wrote? And for me, anyways, like, I always write, like, the most vulgar thing I could think of at that moment. And that's always fun.
So that's why I should keep paper around. Because I'm like, I don't know why I should write letters to my own people. Like, they give you paper and tell you to do it at the beginning. But I'm like, that's kind of dumb.
Like, and it's cool, too. Like, you could go, like, when you're in someone else's town, you could write a letter to that person, too. Like, so, like, my one old coworker, I went to her town, and I was like, I wrote her a letter. I'm like, you're the only thing I miss about that store. And I gave her a present with it, you know. And I was like, sent you a letter. You'll get it tomorrow. She never thanked me, the whore.
Yeah, so that's Animal Crossing. It definitely has that Nintendo charm. We'll see how long I continue to play it, but right now there's nothing else really to play on my 3DS, so.
Yeah, it's carrying me till Zelda for sure. Yeah. It's never leaving the 3DS till Zelda. It's
yeah, well, everything else on my 3DS is digital. Like, I bought Animal Crossing, physical for one, in case I hated it, I could trade it in.
Yeah.
And two, because it seals up the game hole, which was empty. so now there's not like dust getting in there. But
wait, so you bought a game just because there was a hole? Like, I gotta put something in there.
It's very male mentality, Chris.
I gotta fill the hole. Fill the hole.
There's a hole. Something has to be shoved in it. I bought it physical as well, mostly because of my discount, but also because I was like, I don't want to take up, like, I still have whatever the standard 2 gig card is in it, so I'm like, I don't want to take up space. Because I know it takes up a pretty big chunk of space. But it would be convenient to have digital, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's how Nintendo wants you to buy it, so...
Well, they should give me a discount, motherfuckers.
I don't believe
they
do.
A bigger you know, memory card. What's with Nintendo and small, like, dude, come on, you released a system last year with a 32 gig fucking hard drive, come on now.
So they can sell you the bigger hard drive later on.
Which you can buy. You can buy, like, an external one for, like, $80 or some shit. It's bogus. I don't need it yet.
Everything they can to release the console at a low price so that they can make a profit on every console sold.
It's so cheap, though. And then
make more profit on the extras that they sell you.
It's just so cheap in this day and age to get to put out. They put out an 8-gig model, which they recalled, but, like, dude, an 8-gig model in this day and age when the standard next gen is going to be 500 gigs? Come on,
right.
Now. It's ridiculous.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, even 32 gigs is...
It's a joke.
Yeah,
it's nothing,
like,
man.
I mean, it does allow you to install an external drive. I don't know if it can read off of that, though. I don't know if you need to transfer stuff to the...
Probably.
Core drive. Except how it was with... Like anything on the SD card, like on the Wii, like you could put the SD card in and you got an extra 2 gigs of storage, but you couldn't actually play anything off of the SD card, so if you wanted to play any virtual console games, like you had to reinstall it on or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. That's 3DS. Wii U, yay. Let's talk about The Last of Us.
Speaking of non-stressful games.
That game's pretty stressful.
Very fucking stressful.
It's like the exact opposite. I'm not sure how much I like it, which I'm sure that's going to incite some rage from listeners.
Fanboy!
Yeah, alright, so I'll lay this out. I really like the story, and where it's going.
Have you got to where it's going yet without spoilers? Like, do you know why you're going?
Yes.
Where you're... Okay. Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty standard. Like, I could have saw it coming, I guess, but
it's basically, if you've ever seen Children of Men,
mm-hmm.
It's like that meets the road.
Yeah. Very much.
I think they do some great things with characters, but Naughty Dog's always kind of done that. I mean, they know how to paint characters very well.
Yeah, but what they did before was more fun adventure stuff. This is definitely...
Oh, this is a more serious, it's more of a horror story. It's not, you know, it's not Indiana Jones, Tomb Raider type shit.
And the tone and the characters and their dialogue, it's spot on. And it's really, really good writing.
Yeah, my problem arises when I actually have to play the game.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, and so I've never been a fan of the shooting in Naughty Dog games.
It sucks.
Yeah. I don't think it's gotten any better in this game, and you have limited ammo. So I just actually, right before we started, I checked my stats on it, and... I think I have, like, 54 kills, and I've decided that I'm just going to try and punch people out because I have 41 melee kills. It's because, like, I just can't hit anything with the fucking gun, so... Or I run out of ammo so quick that it's, like... that's fine when you're facing off against, like, a few of these zombie-type creatures, but there are times when you're facing off against soldiers with guns... And there's like 7 of them and you have 9 shots. It's like, this isn't cool.
Yeah, you really don't want to use, I mean, at least in, you know, to his credit, like, you don't want to use the gun really in this. It's not. It's,
no, no.
It's picking them off one by one by sneaking up on them.
Yeah. And that's the other, like, they're like, oh, well, like, I haven't found a way to get around really without killing anything. Like, I've always kind of, like, been forced into these situations where I have to kill at least one of the guys to move on. Maybe that'll change. Maybe I'm playing it wrong. I don't know. But, yeah, so, some of the gameplay stuff I'm not really a fan of.
I could agree that the shooting sucks, because especially if they're up close on you, like, you're like, dude, I'm shooting it,
right.
But it's like, it's not doing anything.
That's classic Uncharted. It's like you have the reticule on their head and you're pulling the trigger and they're acting like they're hit, but they're still coming at you. It's like, I shot you in the head, you should be dead.
It's like there's a distance they have to, like, if they're far enough away and you hit them in the head, then they die. But, like, when they're within, like, 5 feet, it's, like, all fucked up.
Right, which is where you'd be more accurate.
it's so weird. Like, I don't know, though. I think, I wonder, because I'm not a usual stealth, like, fan of stealth, and I kind of dig it in this, because it's just, like, dude, it's so intense. Like, when you're just, like you're sitting there in a corner, and there's a clicker walking past you, and it's making that awful clicking sound.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the sound effects are great, but I very quickly found out that the clickers run on set paths.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of figuring out the path they're on and then timing your movements. So it's very gamey, like, and, I mean, I guess that's kind of how you have to design it, but...
It's weird, though, because, like, they're blind, so you could just be, like, kneeling right in front of them, Tony, like, they'll walk right past you, but you're just like, oh, God, you're, like, heart's beating, like, oh, please, thank God. But then, like, I've had a few times, really, all of a sudden, I'm like, what did I do, did I twitch or something? And they're like, rah, and they come at you, and you're like, no, and they rip your fucking neck, like, they rip your throat out.
Yeah, it seems really arbitrary about how those things attack you. It's like... Because when you first encounter them, it kind of runs you through a...
like tutorial?
Well, there's no actual tutorials. There are, but they're all text-based. So, like, when you first come across one, there's like, hey, if you want to know how, like, to actually approach these things, here's the information. You might want to read it.
Yeah.
And it lays it out that, like, tickers are blind, which, you know, you kind of get that information from your partner, Tess, as well. But it also tells you that, like, they can hear you even when you're kind of crouched and moving slowly. So if they're really close, like, you want to stand perfectly still.
Is that it?
Yeah. But you probably didn't read that, so you wouldn't know.
I might have and just forgot.
And you're like, I'm crouching and I'm moving really slowly, but yeah, they can even hear that. So if they are close enough, you don't want to be moving at all. But there are times when I'm just sitting there and I guess I'm in their path, and they'll just walk up, and, like, if they bump into you, they'll attack you. It's like, but I could just be, like, a rock.
Yeah, right. Like, what do they know?
Yeah, and it seems very trial, like, I mean, at least for me, some of the combat scenarios have seemed very trial and error, like, well, the stealth scenarios, not the combat scenarios. The stealth scenarios seem very trial and error-ish. Which I'm not particularly a fan of.
Yeah, like, I just like watching the story and then, like, doing, like, the basic platforming that they have. I'm like, parts I like. And then
there are some great aspects to it.
And then you just get stuck in a room with them. You're like, oh, fuck, I gotta get through this room. No.
Yeah, there was, so very early on, you leave the town. You're with your partner Tess and the little girl Ellie, and you're in this skyscraper that is seemingly like toppling over while you're in it.
Yeah.
Like not very fast, but slowly, and you come across this area where there are a couple clickers and a couple normal infected, and I ended up dying like 4 or 5 times until I figured out exactly what the pattern was. I'm like,
you're talking like you have to clear the room for them, right?
Yeah.
So finally I get through that, but there was one just sitting there and I'm like, okay, I can walk just past them just fine, right?
It jumped up and attacked you, right?
Yeah, like I went up top and you start moving this desk out of the way of a door and it makes a really loud sound and all of a sudden he's like, rah! He comes up and I'm like, no, please, if I die right now, I'm quitting this game and never playing it again.
Yeah, I mean, I've been at those points where I just shut it off. I'm like, I'm done for right now. I have to get away from it. Because one, it's such a tense game. Like the story has, there's really no like, lightness to it. There's no levity at all. Like
little jokes here and there, but I get you, man. I can't play it for more than like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
it's pretty grim. So it's like I think I'm at this point I'm playing like 45 minutes to an hour at a time, and I'm like I'm done. Like I can't take much more of this. I mean it's beautiful. It's a beautiful game. Like Naughty Dog has the PlayStation tech down. Really well. And I think they're getting better and better with storytelling, although Uncharted 3 left a lot to be desired. Although I don't think story was its main problem there, but I don't know. I could see where people are like, this game is awesome. But for me, it always comes down to the gameplay. And like here, like I'm almost wishing that I'd have like a Walking Dead type experience where I could just experience the story as opposed to having to play like these scenarios and I'm just not having any fun at. And it's, I know some people like, oh, well, this game's not meant to be fun, but I'm not enjoying that aspect of it. I'm enjoying the story for its seriousness and the way it's handled and, like, just the tension that it builds, but I'm not enjoying playing the game.
I could see that. But we haven't talked about this on the air, about the opening of the game.
Right.
No spoilers, but goddamn that opening, like, at the very least, rent the game to experience that opening. It's insane, dude. It's all scripted and, you know, very kind of Uncharted-ish with, like these big set-piece things going on. But, man, is it cool.
Yeah, it's really you just running.
And well, part of it is you just sitting in the back of the car looking out the window. But
yeah,
like,
that was actually pretty cool.
Oh, man, there's people, like, running up, like, let me in. And you're, like, driving right past them and stuff. It's like, oh, my God, dude, it's so good. It's, like, better than most movies.
It really is. It's, like, the best of, like, you know, every zombie apocalypse-type movie that comes along. Like, it takes the best aspects of that at the beginning portion. And then shit just goes crazy.
Yeah. And it sets the mood, for sure, where you're just like, oh, man, this game's gonna leave me sad for, like, 15 hours. Thanks.
Yeah, and then it just, like, I mean, I was not expecting that it picks up 20 years after that.
Is it 20 years?
Yeah, it's 20 years after those events. So, you play as the same guy that's in the opening, but obviously things have changed him and made him into a different person. I'll be interested to hear what Tony's take on it is once he gets around to it.
Damn it, you're going to make me play that game.
You should play it. Game of the Year talk, because like right now, I guess Chris would probably not say it's in running, but it is. I think it's one of the best games I've played this year, even though it's not my type of game that I would usually like. But
I mean, it's definitely going to come up
story wise.
Yeah, I think at least for that side, from like technical, from a visual perspective,
presentation.
It does some really great things as a game. It does some not so great things as well, but I'm sure that will come up in discussion at the end of the year, so it's probably something you should put on your short list.
Yeah.
Play sometime in the next 6 months. What else we got? Tony, I believe you said you're playing
Company of Heroes 2.
Yeah,
launches next week.
Okay.
It's not technically out yet, but I have a final retail version, so I've been playing it. The first game in the series, the original Company Heroes, the single player opened up with the beach landings in Normandy. So you like you see the first wave, because you're actually in the second wave, and you see the first wave being utterly massacred and like all these people dying and, you know, like everything exploding, and then it just stops and it's quiet as your troops move towards the front, and you're just like sitting there with your like mouth open. The second game opens with the Battle of Stalingrad. So you play through the campaign as a Russian commander. So you're the Russians in Stalingrad, and you're counterattacking the Germans who are trying to take the city. And the game opens up with a bunch of Russian conscripts. So basically half of them don't even have weapons. And they're like just being like thrown into battle. And they're like just running across an open field with a bunch of German machine guns and just being massacred. So you have to come in and like take control over this situation with your like elite shock troops while you're watching the conscripts die around you. It's a really intense opening to a game that is extremely like taxing in terms of action, and there's just a whole lot going on and a whole lot to manage at one time. Real-time strategy, from what I've played so far, if you've played the original Company of Heroes, you will hop right into it and have no problem. It's very similar in that respect. The the new environments are really cool. The fact that you get to play as the Russians and have that Russian experience with the absolutely terrible troops mixed in with the really good troops, and the mix of weapons, that kind of stuff. It's really interesting. It's a new experience. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it because I only played about 45 minutes of the game. The plot of the campaign is really like generic. I don't think I've ever seen a Russian game that didn't start after the war was over already.
Okay.
Kind of like how, Call of Duty World at War kind of points at the end of the war before the beginning and.
Right, right.
I don't understand the fascination with like throwing people in prison. Everybody's going to the gulag when the war is over. And the game actually starts in the gulag in Siberia. So, no points for originality in the plot so far, but we'll see. It's really good. The game looks great. I'm having fun with it so far.
And that comes out next week?
Yeah, next Tuesday, I think.
Might have to give that a shot.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun so far. There's some really cool stuff with the environment. Fully destructible. You'll do some fighting on ice, meaning that you can like destroy the ice under people's feet. Some of the combat takes place in the middle of blizzards, which really throws a wrench into the normal RTS firefight, like constant explosion, and then the blizzard will move through and everything will stop as everybody like just scrambles to get to cover because if your troops stay outside, they die. So the battlefield for like a minute will be like eerily quiet.
That's a cool dynamic though, like adding something like that in where the weather actually affects your troop count and whatnot. So
I've never seen it. Normally when you see it in an RTS game, it's just for, you know, color.
Yeah, or to like kind of block out some, like add an extra level of like fog of war or whatever.
Right.
So that is pretty cool.
Yes, it's a cool extra I've never seen before. So, the opening cinematic of the game is you see these people like floating through the water and getting hit with bullets, and like you see the bullets like flying through the water, and you're like, oh, it's like Normandy, and then you realize that these guys are like dead bodies trapped underneath the ice because they were fighting on the lake and it was destroyed.
It's sounds pretty cool, and I really like the developer.
Relic.
Yeah, they did the Warhammer 40K Dawn of War games, which I really liked quite a bit. So.
And the original Company Heroes is a classic.
Yeah.
That everyone should play. So.
I have that. Still haven't played it, but.
You should get into that.
I should probably try that out this weekend before the new one.
Right. Exactly. Before the other game launches.
Yeah.
Good idea.
I finished Remember Me. I think we briefly talked about this before E3. I really like that game. No one is going to remember it at all, though. So I think it was badly positioned for its release. It has a great sense of style to it. The world is really cool. The story. Very interesting. It's like this cyberpunk, this dystopian future type thing going on where you can jack into memories. And it's really kind of fun. And all the combat is melee-based. There's no guns. There's no guns that you use. I'm not really a big fan of, you know, combos, but this game does it in such a way that, like, it gives you a reason to try different combos and a reason to do longer and longer combos. And that's because it sets it up for you itself. There are these things called press-ins where each thing does something differently. And one aspect of it will be, if you press Y, you'll gain a little bit of health back. And then if you press B, you'll gain a little bit of your focus meter back. And you can pair these all up so that you can, you know, gain your health and your focus meter back quicker, or you can lower the recharge rate on your special attacks. So there's a reason to actually use these combos and to do that. It's actually a really cool system that works out really well. So I found it quite fun outside of like a couple of the boss battles, but it's really, really kind of a cool game. It's unfortunate that Capcom kind of threw it out when it did, because no one is going to play it at all.
Wait, what game?
Remember Me.
Oh.
Yeah.
You seem to be the only person I know that like really enjoyed that.
I mean, there's a couple other people that I know that played it that liked it as well. But, yeah, I thought it was really, really cool.
Like, my boss liked it, and I was like, oh, I thought he had New Yorker reviews. He was, I knew what I was getting into with it, you know? Like, he knew exactly what to expect out of it, and I guess if you like Capcom action games, you probably would enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Devil May Cry. Like, it's definitely more deliberate. And it has a decent rating on its Metacritic rating is 75. IGN hated it, but it's IGN.
It wasn't Call of Duty 3.
Right. Like, I mean, everybody else kind of gave it, like, 7s and 8s. So, IGN gave it a 59. I mean, it is what it is. I thought it was really well done for what it is. And, unfortunately, it just kind of released in a bad spot. But it was fun. And I also played some of Grid 2. Review is currently up on Vagary. That game's meh.
Meh?
Yeah. It's the original Grid was this pretty cool, like, arcade sim hybrid racing game. This kind of does it, but fucks up the handling, so everything feels like you're driving on ice. So not fun. They do some really cool things with presentation, but the difficulty ramps up exponentially once you reach the fourth season, and I found myself not having fun with it after that, so. Yeah. That's another game you could probably skip, because no one even probably knows it came out.
Sweet.
Yep. So let's do some news.
There's news?
Maybe.
There might be some news. Something or other happened with Xbox, you know, Microsoft completely recanting their DRM policy and tossing it out the window in favor of going back to what the 360 did.
Great.
We'll just toss that out there, you know, rake it across the coals.
DRM was seemingly a big sticking point for people. Prior to E3, and then certainly after E3 with the announcement that Sony made.
Yeah.
I think the bigger story here, I mean, like, it's huge news that they went back on this, especially after a whole week of kind of going, no, this is like, you know, we stand behind our policy on this, and we believe in what we're doing here, and to come out, you know, halfway through the week after E3 and go, yeah, all about that.
I think it speaks a lot to two facts that haven't ever been true, which number one is that corporations are actually listening to social media and paying attention to customers even before they've made sales, which doesn't ever seem to have been the case in corporate America, but in corporations anywhere. Ever.
It's a different time, though. That's the thing.
And number two, Microsoft having the nimbleness in their structure to actually just go ahead and do this.
Right.
The fact that they were able to do that is astonishing. To within a week just say, okay, we can toss this entire policy, this entire structure that we've built our console around, out the window and still hit our launch date in 2013. It's kind of crazy if you think about it.
And as I said to Chris, I think it speaks to consumers' power. And believe me, they were looking at the pre-orders, and it was ugly. they were getting fucking dick slapped in the face really bad.
I'm sure they were. I mean, based on what you were saying and from what other, like I saw the pre-orders at the store that I pre-ordered at, like much like your store, Jeff, like pre-orders were for PS4 were outdoing Xbox One, like 2-1.
Yeah, I sent you a picture, right? It was more than 2-1, the picture I sent you.
Yeah, I think you said it was like 47-16 or something, the one you sent me.
Yeah.
Which is almost 3-1. So 3-1, 2-1, whatever. Microsoft's kind of going back on this whole thing. I think that what's being lost here, though, is a lot of the cool features that we're gonna come from Microsoft's decisions here of being always kind of forcing people to have a connection, forcing people to have Xbox Live, forcing the games to just be a digital, like the actual disc to just be a digital delivery device. We're losing out on some things that really could have, I think, pushed the industry forward. The game sharing thing, completely gone now. It's basically at this point, I think all we're getting out of the PS4 and Xbox One are slightly more powerful hardware.
With some cool, I mean, they're not going to lose the, like.
There'll be some cool features with the Twitch and that.
Skype and stuff. Like, you're not going to lose everything. And, like, PS4, I think that the whole sharing videos with people feature is, I mean, I doubt I'll use it a lot, but.
Right,
you also have the more powerful system for which you can develop games that did things that the games currently can't do.
Right. I mean, but at that point, like, where does it stop just being this cool console thing to just being a PC that's hooked up to your TV?
Right. Well, Steam has some advantages over.
right. Well, I mean, there's advantages to, like, there's advantages to having a PS3, there's advantages to having an Xbox 360, there's an advantage to having a Wii U, not many of them, and there's advantages to having a PC. Like, there's advantages to having all these different devices, it's just how they kind of spin it. I mean, I think, yes, the Twitch stuff is going to be pretty cool, and I actually have confidence that that's going to work. On the flip side of that, I don't have as much confidence that Sony's networking stuff is going to work. Like, they just had to pull off a firmware update that was bricking PS3s. Like, I have very, very low confidence in Sony being able to do anything right with the network.
What is the status of that, by the way? Can I do an update if I turn on my PS3?
I have heard nothing, so I would not do an update.
The last thing I had read was that they pulled the system update. So the one that was breaking everything should not be up there. But if I were you, I would not do it.
But I shouldn't, like, see one at all. Like, because it was weird, too. When it was happening, I was playing The Last of Us. And, like, I never got anything saying to update my system, which is weird. Like, I logged on just before I saw that happening. And I was like, okay. Well, good thing that didn't happen, because that would have sucked really bad. Imagine if I had sold my 360 too already. I'd be like, no!
Your PS3 gets bricked by the firmware update.
You owe me. I would be like, you motherfuckers owe me.
This is why you should not sell your 360. Let this be a cautionary tale. Actually, that's actually the reason I have a PS3, in part is that, my original Xbox 360 got the Red Ring of Death, and so I was like sitting right, it was like the day after Christmas, and I'd been playing like Fallout 3. So I was way into gaming, it was so exciting, whatever, and the day after Christmas, my Xbox Red Ring. I went a month without my console, I'm like, I can never do this again. I have to have backup. I have to have two.
It's nice to have, right? Like, in case that does happen.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's hardware, right? There's always a chance of it failing, so if you have the option of having multiple systems, it actually makes sense to hold on to stuff like that. And I mean, and for me personally, I have so much digital content on my Xbox 360 that, like, I would basically be trading in, like, probably $1,500 or so worth of, like, digital content along with it. Like, I'd just be forfeiting that, not trading it in. Like, I'm not going to get that value for it, but I'd be forfeiting that content. So that would make it really hard for me to do. I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, obviously, it's not a bad thing that, you know, they've wiped away the DRM and online
connectivity. I think perhaps the thing that comes out of this is that their solution was a little too extreme. It needed to be implemented in more steps than they seemed to be willing to take.
That's possible.
I think console gamers were too used to what the way they were doing things, and even though I'm on record as agreeing with what Microsoft was attempting to do, you still have to do it at a rate that people will accept, and to just go ahead and go full, I guess, full steam or whatever you want to call it.
Full steam ahead.
was just too much. They're used to trading in their games.
Well,
having this complicated, convoluted system that Microsoft themselves were having a really hard time explaining to people exist.
Well, if you guys both think that really is the future, then, like Chris said, it was a forward-thinking console. It was built for the future.
Right. And, but, I mean, it still is built that way.
Right. Like,
but
I mean,
they're just going to have to implement whatever that future they think is in a more careful manner.
Right, because if they could say, hey, this is how it needs to be, and then turn around a week later, or, you know, at this point, it's like 3 weeks later from when they actually announced it, but turn around and go, yeah, that's not accurate anymore, we're going to do an update and take all that shit out. Like, it's all firmware, right? Like, this can all be accessed and added in via firmware. So at some point, like, when they're like, hey, people are now ready, and I think it'll be quicker than some people are thinking. Once they see that the market is ready, they can then maybe flip that switch.
I think it's accurate, though, and I think I've said it before, like, console gamers are used to playing their games a certain way, and that's, like, PC, like, when that switched over and then when Steam came out, like, people are just kind of used to that shit already, right?
Right.
But, like, with this, it's too drastic, it's too much, and, in my opinion, I think the damage is already done. I don't know if they turn it around just by doing this a week later when most pay attention.
The damage is done. Well, in some respect, I think you're right, Jeff. Like, that core gamer that was like, oh, fuck Microsoft, I'm going there. There are a few that are going to jump back, right? Like, I mean, yeah. I saw it already. Like, people going, after E3, this DRM stuff is stupid. I'm just going PS4. It turned around when this came down. They were like, you know, fuck it, I'm now getting an Xbox. So they brought some of those people back.
Maybe some, but, like, you know, I get to see this firsthand every day, and, like, the word of mouth around Microsoft is really, really, really bad right now. Like, everyone's like, ah, fuck all that. Like, you know, everyone's like, and a lot of people have misinformation, like, oh, you could not buy used games. And I let them roll with it. Like, yeah, you can't, fuck that, right? But today, even after they announced this, I had several people come in, and they were still like, fuck Microsoft. They didn't even know. They didn't know.
Well, it's going to take a little while to get that messaging out there, too, though.
But I think
among any of the big three, Sony and Nintendo are both awful at this, but Microsoft is better at disseminating their information to the consumer eventually.
Yeah,
and
with
so much time to do it. I mean, what do they have?
Five months?
Yeah, but it would have been nice a week ago if they...
Oh, yeah, no, right. Certainly. You know, they fucked up now. E3. Like, coming out now, they squandered that opportunity for that. But...
Yeah.
Turning around, they have 5 months that they can build that back up. And you have to realize that, like, the big games are still Call of Duty, Madden, Battlefield. Those are games that are going to get people thinking, and all three of them are going to be marketed as Xbox exclusives. Even though they're not,
yeah,
they are going to be marketed that way. Like, Call of Duty has exclusive Xbox content coming first. When Activision goes out to show their shit, they're going to have Xbox 360 and Xbox One on there. Sony lost Battlefield when EA signed their exclusivity deal with there for new content. They're both going to have it, but when EA goes to advertise it, they're going to advertise it as an Xbox game. That will help a lot.
Yeah.
And right now, that's not, like, those people aren't worrying about the new systems.
Right, know? They don't care yet.
So, yeah, you're getting that hardcore market coming in going, yeah, fuck Microsoft, whatever. And I think some of that, we said it last week, that I think some of that is really short-sighted. And a lot of these people are still going to be people that own both eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
There are people that want, they consume games. They want everything.
Anybody who cares that much at this point loves video games so much, they're not going to be able to stay away.
Yeah. It's not like I'm just going to eat Burger King and fuck McDonald's or, you know what I mean? Like, right. You're like, I like burgers, you know? But, I don't see them bouncing quite back by this fall with it. I will say this. I had one call after close. Like, after I closed, I was like 9:10, and the person's like, are you still taking Xbox One reserves? And we actually aren't right now. As a company, we cut off Xbox One reserves, like, a couple days ago, which is very interesting. Because we hadn't even reached our... It was weird. I had an allotted... I had 94 pre-orders I could take on PS4 and 30 on Xbox One. They cut me off, like, the company-wide, and I was 10 short of what I... was promised in the first place. That's interesting.
You kind of wonder if there was some influence from retailers on Microsoft in this decision too.
Specifically, a retailer that sells used games, a big one, yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, like, there are a couple. I mean, Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop all sell lots of used games, and this DRM policy certainly hurt all of them.
Yeah, they were probably.
I wonder how much pressure that was on Microsoft from those companies.
It felt like we were giving them the cold shoulder too. Like the Xbox One didn't even matter. Like and dude, it kind of didn't. Like for this last week, it kind of didn't. And it's like maybe Microsoft is like, dude, we are gonna kill ourselves if we keep like if we don't change course and do something, we are screwed. Like I have a feeling like they had to be looking at pre-orders and going, oh no. And then looking at the way the companies were treating them, because I had a feeling like the relationship between Microsoft and GameStop was not in a good place. So.
Yeah, and why would it be? Like, GameStop's stock was dropping. Like, I mean, every time Microsoft opened their mouth, GameStop's stock dropped more. Like,
right.
This is all speculation. Like, this is speculation on my part, right? It's just. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, I mean, like, nobody's ever going to tell us, yeah, GameStop went into Microsoft and said, hey, fuck you guys, we're not selling your shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't hear that even. Right. If they did, though, we don't know.
But wouldn't be surprising if, you know, especially GameStop in particular, who where a lot of their sales are going to come from. I mean, Best Buy, Amazon, those, even though they do sell used games, they could turn around and sell it much like they do a DVD player or something where it's just like, here's this entertainment device. Like, we're not going to offer shelf space for games or whatever because you're going to buy it digitally, but, you know, here's this device. I mean, they sell Rokus, like, in Best Buy and on Amazon. Like, they get no sort of... It is literally a streaming device that they get no extra money out of. I think GameStop would be the big one that was pushing this, right?
Well, they probably shared some numbers with them, and the numbers were, I guarantee, awful. And they're like, oh, we're going to be in third place.
Oh, I don't know about third place.
I don't know. I mean, that's stretching it, but second place, that's not even a question.
Right. Yeah, and coming out of the gate, I mean, there was word early on that Microsoft was having some sort of, they were going to have supply issues anyway. They're having a problem meeting the demand, I guess, of whatever they're putting into the fucking thing. Which is weird, because, like, you would think Sony would be having that same problem.
No, Sony was like, here's what happened with Sony. They saw how many pre-orders they're getting, they're like, we will make twice as many as that. Give us more pre-orders.
I'm really wondering if they're going to be able to hit that thing. I'm wondering if they're saying that they're going to have it, but they're not going to be able to fill that. I'm really, really wondering about that because DDR5 RAM that they have in their system is not a mass-produced RAM, and it's something that a lot of the high-end video cards for PCs also use. there is a kind of a logjam of how much of that shit is getting produced silicon-wise. So I'm wondering if Sony's just like, yeah, fucking take it all.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, like,
if they can hit it.
Like, we're really iffy about, like, at least, I don't know what it was the last console generation, because I had customers tell me, like, yeah, I put money down a system, it wasn't even fucking here when it came out. But, like, the way it is now, we're taking pre-orders based on what they are promising us.
Right, well, no,
I go over, I get fired.
Well, no, I'm not saying that, like, they're saying, hey, we can provide your store with 100, or, like, however they're allocating it. But I'm wondering if they're actually going to be able to hit that.
That's the thing, I don't know, but, like...
Like, that's not your fault. But that's their fault, and I'm wondering if they're going to be able to hit it, or if there's going to be people going, what the fuck, man? Like, where's my system?
I think they saw the numbers, and it was way more than they thought. Like, they were hitting their limit already, and they're like, well, fuck it, we got to make more, but can you in time?
Yeah, that's a thing. And, like, I know Amazon stopped guaranteeing that if you pre-order a system from them that you will get it on day one. Due to supply issues, like, we cannot guarantee that you'll get your system on launch day. We will fill orders as they become available.
See, with us, it is a guarantee, but that's us, I think, probably taking faith. And when I say us, yeah.
Right, well, that Sony is going to fill their end of the deal.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting.
It's going to be interesting for people working retail this fucking fall. Like, oh my god. I've never seen a big console launch like that, and I probably won't. But it's going to be, like, dude, where do you fit all those systems? Like, my back room is the size of a bathroom. Like, where do they all go?
Well, I mean, if they're all pre-orders, right, you're just going to bring them in, you're going to have them all stacked there, and then you're going to give them all out on day one. Like,
but, like, that day or two where they're sitting back there?
Yeah, it's going to be cramped.
And you have to scan all of them every morning, so it's like, if it's just, like, a wall of fucking systems, I'm like, there's no way you can scan it. Like,
I wonder if that's one of those things where they get delivered the day before, like...
Oh, God. That makes me glad.
It would be, like, but...
You know what the biggest nightmare is? It's the week before Call of Duty, because there's a day where 36 fucking boxes show up at your store, and you're like, oh my god, where do I put this stuff? Like, just checking all the boxes in is a pain in the ass. Oh, and I can only imagine the systems. I, like, fucking shiver thinking about it.
Kind of building off the used game talk, it's not really news, but I guess Reggie did a interview at E3 where he said that, you know, if other developers and publishers are worried about used games, they should make better games. you can't really argue with them. Like,
I don't know if you saw my tweet on the subject. I was like, Nintendo's response is to just release no games.
Right, but yes. But I mean, historically, like, Nintendo games hold their value. I mean, I don't trade my Nintendo games in. And I have to agree with them. Like, the games that I really liked this past generation, like Halo and Gears and Uncharted, I still have those games. So.
It's true.
The good games you keep. Like, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
I have Skyrim. I'm never giving up Fallout 3. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly. Like, I mean, there's some stuff that you're just like, all right, I'll trade this crap in, but this is
well, some of it, like Uncharted, if you go sell that now, you get like $2 for it. It sells for like $10. It's, you know, why would I even bother?
Well, right,
you're just gonna do what I was thinking of and just sell everything.
But it's one of those games that you're like, you know, I really enjoyed Uncharted 2, so I'm gonna hold on to it because that was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
I like looking in my drawer and seeing like a game like that just hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and there are games like where I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever play them again, like Dark Souls. But, like, I'm never going to sell that. Fuck that. Unless I sold my old system and everything with it.
I totally sold that game. Goodbye, Dark Souls.
How dare you?
I did sell my copy of Dark Souls, but I also have the PC version, so that was what
I did. Demon Souls still, Jeff.
Do you think it's better? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I still have that as well. There's no point in selling it, even though you get it, like, for free right now, but...
Free.
quote unquote free.
Right. yeah, so, I mean, I think there's some truth in what he's saying. Like, it is kind of funny, though, coming from a company that hasn't had a major release since March. but there's some truth there. I heard about this morning, and I'll let Tony get back to all his news in a minute, but I did hear about this morning, listening to some of the E3 wrap-up podcasts from major outlets. Evidently, the Mario Kart 8 gamepad functionality is that it is a horn. Could somebody explain to me what the hell Nintendo is doing?
I mean, I don't know. I guess that's okay. Like, what else are you going to do with it, really? Like,
I don't know.
The new Mario Kart, you're going to spend most of the game stuck in traffic, and you're going to have to use the horn to, like, get cars out of your way.
Like, it'll just be like this pointless horn on your screen there for no reason that you will never use. But I would imagine you could do gamepad play, which I think is the coolest part of the gamepad, is, like, you could play the games on it if you want. Like, I would imagine. Please tell me it has that.
I don't know.
I just can't wait for that Beltway gridlock level. It's going to be a great...
No,
I need that damn horn a lot.
Everyone said that Mario Kart looks great. The track design was fantastic, but it's just like, it's going to be the same, like, here's, you know, four different cups.
Yeah, right?
You unlock the mirror cups, so
here's old levels.
Yeah, here's some old levels, here's some new levels, here's some old characters, here's some new characters, and here's one new gameplay feature, like what
a
they...
A horn.
Yeah. Oh.
You know,
yeah. Oh, God.
Or, like, I guess you could, drive on ceilings or some shit. Like, whatever. Like, I honestly, and I said this before, like, I think the Sonic Racing Transformed innovated on that formula so much more than they've done anything with Mario Kart. Like, it's so much better than Mario Kart now.
Yeah, it's just Mario Kart will sell 25 bajillion copies.
And fucking Sonic Racing is gonna sell none.
Yeah, it's like, four people bought Sonic Racing,
it's
and we're
so
two of them.
Good. It's so good, though. It's really, really good. Like, I borrowed that to my sister, and I kind of want it back, because I kind of want to play it some more.
Yeah, it's a really good kart racing game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just perplexed by Nintendo and their design decisions, but Pikmin's coming, so.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And everyone says, like, that's going to be fucking good. I know, wasn't Walter telling us he played it, like, last week or whatever? Like,
Yeah.
And I don't think he's even a big Pikmin fan. He said it was good.
Yeah, I heard good things about Pikmin. I heard less good things about some other games that I was interested in. But
Mario?
No, not Nintendo games. Particularly the, Drive Club on PS4.
Oh, I thought you were sticking with Wii U for a second.
No, just in general. Like, I heard some not great things about some other games at E3 that I was kind of looking forward to.
Really? I thought Drive Club looked great, but, like, what they showed was all CG, which I didn't realize at the time. It totally fooled me. I'm like, man, look at the graphics on that trailer, you know? If that's in-game shit, holy fuck, you know?
It's awesome. Evidently, it looks great, but that's what I like. It's evidently a tech demo gone wild, where it's like, somebody was like, hey, you know, it would be cool to, like, show what the system could do, cars. And
yeah.
So they, like, did some really cool shit with cars, and then, like, they tried to build a game out of it, and it's evidently not great, but...
Weird.
And then I heard the Crew, that's the Ubisoft racing game, right? I heard that handles like shit.
That was the one I was more interested in. That was the one that was all CG. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Crew. Drive Club is the Sony one, right?
Yeah, Drive Club is the Sony one.
Yeah, my bad.
The Crew, did they say that was... Because they showed people playing that on stage.
Well, like, the trailer they were showing where oh my God, that looks fucking... That looks photorealistic.
Oh, okay, right.
Like, that was not actual, like, the actual engine. It was CG.
CG. So, like, they did show people playing it.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
It was all right. Yeah, I heard the control on that isn't great either.
They could tighten it, though. Like, control is something that they could adjust with, like, a slider, I would imagine, and make it better.
You would hope, but that's all you need to do for a driving game is hit that. Like, if you're demoing that, that should be pretty tight, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That said, I feel like the control in like the last few Need for Speeds, even though I love them, was almost too tight, or it was like too hard to turn sometimes, like the way you want, but I don't know.
I wasn't a big fan of the last Need for Speed. But...
Yeah, I think Hot Pursuit was a better game.
Tony, anything else in news?
EA and their brilliance. More layoffs, but this time they've eliminated their team of internal industry analysts and internal reviewers. This was the team that indicated to them that the latest Medal of Honor game was a quality effort and should definitely be at the top of the first-person shooter industry.
Those people... I'm not even going to say it. I was going to say they deserve to be fired, but... No, like, I mean, I feel bad for people losing their jobs, but if this was the advice they were giving EA, it was not good advice.
It's hard to see the forest through the trees, though, like, when you're in that project, and you're like, yeah, this is quality, dude, this looks like Call of Duty, you know, there's shit blowing up, right? You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's not specific, like, that's not exactly who they fired, though, right? Like, they fired people who, like, their job was to analyze the industry and to mock review them. Like,
right. So these are the people who would sit down, play the title, and then, like, write a review like we would for Vagary.
And these are ex-industry, like, I know that the news broke from Kat Bailey, who used to be from 1UP. She is an ex-games, you know, reviewer who was paid to review games.
And they're like all saying, oh, Medal of Honor, it's great.
I think that's part of the problem, though. You got EA paying their own staff to review their own games. Who's going to say, after EA has announced a release date and this game is coming out, that this game is shit and shouldn't be released?
But it's like, if it's your job, though, to, like, your job is to have a critical eye towards these games, critically slain eye, you know.
But you start tossing in, like, groupthink and...
Yeah,
you know, buying into
good.
The team
yeah, exactly.
mentality.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just it's impossible to maintain the perspective you would need to maintain to review these games honestly.
Well, and you figure with what EA does, a lot of their games are. It's hard to say that they release anything that's not really AAA, right? Like they release big blockbuster games. Most of those games are going to sell pretty solidly, and most of those games don't suck. So,
right.
So like, when one comes along and they're like, this isn't maybe great, but it's alright.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's how stuff like that gets passed through. I don't know, it's so weird. I always found, like, the mock review thing really kind of strange anyway, though.
I mean, I always thought it was fine when you used some outside source.
Right, like you hire like a consulting firm or something.
Right.
Like,
somebody who's never been involved in the process. They don't know anything about the game you're putting together. They weren't part of the team that like picked out the ideas, and they just haven't been like hanging around.
I mean, obviously some of that stuff helps EA, I guess. Like stuff like Army of 2-3 or whatever the hell that game was called, and Fuse, like. They kind of just threw out there to die.
Right, well, there's a lot of EA games where you're just like, why did you make that?
Right.
Why is there a Dead Space 3 when nobody wanted Dead Space 2?
Dead Space like, 2 was good.
They were good games, but nobody, like, they didn't sell as well as EA's other properties, and you see EA investing in those series just as strongly as they invested in the others, and you wonder what their internal analysts were telling them.
Right, yeah, that was, especially with 3. 3 was confusing. It was like, alright, Dead Space 2 sold 5 million copies, which is by no means bad. Like, that's actually really good for, for a horror game in today's industry. But, like, how do you turn around and go, we expect to sell 7 million copies of Dead Space 3? Like, you probably hit all your peak people with Dead Space 2. Like,
you know what? Like, and I know this, like, EA has the biggest hard-on ever. To take down Call of Duty with Battlefield. They are going to pour so much money into marketing Battlefield 4, and I think they still don't take them down.
Well,
that's
another thing
time.
You look at what they've done to Battlefield, you wonder how much their analysts had to do with, like, forcing in the single player into Battlefield 3, which didn't need to be there and was terrible.
And it really doesn't need to be there now. It really, like, if it didn't need to be there in Battlefield 3, it really doesn't now, because, like, online connectivity is better than ever, and Battlefield is known for its multiplayer. Like, why not just go all in and say, you know, fuck it, Battlefield's an online multiplayer game.
Just do a big, like, there's no campaign, all multiplayer, tons of maps.
But that's
like,
what Battlefield always was.
And this is what disgusted me was, you know, because I missed most of E3 because I was working. And I'm looking at the, oh, look, trailer for Battlefield 4, let me check it out. And it's a single-player trailer. I'm like, fuck.
Right.
There is probably, like, less than 10%, but there is a small contingent of people who buy, like, Call of Duty to play the single player.
I mean, I
they know it's popular, and they're like, oh, it's Call of Duty, and I buy it because it's Call of Duty, but, like, they have no idea why it's so popular, like.
Well,
like,
yeah, because they're like, this is the same shit every year.
Yeah, they're like, it's like 6 hours and I'm done. I'm like, dude, you're buying the game for the wrong reason. Like, granted, the campaign in Call of Duty is usually kind of fun, but, like.
Yeah, no, typically it's very playable, but Battlefield, not so much.
Well, that's what they're trying to go after, is that, like, less than 10% of people who, like, buy Call of Duty because
right.
they like the
Right, but
10%
of Call of Duty sales is a lot of sales.
Yeah.
It's like over $100 million worth of sales.
Yeah. You're right, though, Joe. I don't know what the hell they're, like, obviously, over the last, since Battlefield 3, right, they've been really pushing to try and take down...
I will say,
I don't see it happening.
That's their ultimate goal. They get closer each time, though. Like,
all right, well, Battlefield 3 ultimately ended up selling about 18 million copies. I mean, granted, that was over, what, 2 years? 2 years ago Battlefield 3 came out, right? So, I mean,
sure.
Like, 2 years to get... But that's within spitting distance. I mean, you know,
yeah,
7-8 million other copies of Call of Duty, but it's within spitting distance.
But that's the thing, and it's still going to be that. They're not going to sell more than the Call of Duty. No one's going to sell more than Call of Duty for a while, for a couple of years probably.
Well, and I don't know if anything does sell more than Call of Duty, outside of, like, you know, Mario and Mario Kart. Like, I don't know if anything does sell more than Call of Duty. I just think that maybe that the military shooter genre kind of just starts slowly, you know, contracting, and... I mean, it's never going to disappear, but maybe it doesn't become the...
I will say this.
All seller.
I will say this. Like, expanding outside of that, outside of the military shooter, and just going into raw sales for this year, I think that Grand Theft Auto 5 wins. They're going to destroy Call of Duty. That's going to be first in a very long time.
Really?
I think Call of Duty is going to has a couple things working against it. Number one is that it's been trending down the last couple of years.
There's fatigue. Like, and a lot of people look at it and go, oh, it's going to be stupid. I hear kids, like little, like, you know, high school kids all the time, they're like, fuck Call of Duty now. It's always stupid. We buy it, we play it for a week, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, like...
The funny thing is, they'll still buy it, play it for a week.
Right. Well, they'll buy
it. But number two is the console transition.
Yeah, that's the one that's going to be the big one, right?
Yeah, that's going to hurt Call of Duty, because not being able to hop on and play with your friends is going to make people think a lot more before they buy it.
Oh,
or,
like, if
or about
on PS4, I don't have PS4 yet. Then fuck it, I'll just wait.
Well, I mean, am I gonna get it to play with you guys? Because, you know, when he's gonna have Xbox, when he's gonna have PS4.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to...
like it's gonna be like, who do I buy it for? And it's gonna be like a quarter of the people I was buying it for before. And is it worth it now?
And GTA 5 is before all this. It's the swan song for this generation, and it's had a lot more marketing for a lot longer of a period.
I'm wondering, though, Jeff, though, because, like, you're saying you're seeing a lot of people bringing in their Xboxes and trading them in.
And,
like, that's what my friend was thinking about doing that. I'm like, you have no interest in GTA 5? Like,
I was like, what about GTA 5? Like,
I'm like, there's still a ton of games coming out this year, and people are kind of really jumping early on making sure they can pay off their systems.
They want the max value.
I think that might be where GTA suffers a little bit. There's still a shit ton of consoles out there, but...
It's weird. I probably have more than 500 GTA 5 pre-orders, and not even half that at Call of Duty, so, and that's weird for Call of Duty. So it's like...
I can't even remember where I pre-ordered GTA 5. God, this is a problem.
But But I mean, I don't, Jeff. You'd be more able to distinguish this. But does Call of Duty's sales do their pre-orders pick up closer to its release? Like, because right now they still haven't finished releasing all the content for Black Ops 2. Like, they're still in that cycle. So I'm wondering if maybe some of those people just haven't, like, I got to go out and pre-order, like, because pre-orders now.
The pace of the pre-orders picks up?
Yeah.
It's usually really hot when the games are first available for pre-order. It's really weird. Like, you go those days where you're like, I'm going to get a billion pre-orders and leave with, like, a million percent, you know, reserves.
I'm wondering if a lot of what Tony's saying might be accurate then. Right now, they don't know where they're going to buy it.
Yeah, that was
serious stuff, but I can't remember where I pre-ordered it. It must have been GameStop.
Somebody will call you.
Yeah, multiple times at this point. But yeah, like, I see GTA kind of dominating this year in terms of software sales. Like, they're going to be the biggest one.
Because I don't think GTA 4 did quite as well as the previous GTAs, but
there's more, like, dude,
more buzz for this one than
there's no fascination with Call of Duty at this point. Like, everyone knows right. What they're gonna get, and a lot of them are just kind of laughing at, like, ghosts. Like, what the fuck is this poster that you get? Like, the poster looks stupid, and like, what is ghosts? You know, and everyone's just like, Call of Duty, played a million times. Like, when's the last time you played a Grand Theft Auto? You know,
right?
I'm telling you. And Rockstar never fucks this shit up when it comes to that, so... Except, although Max Payne 3 sold really poorly, but that's Max
well,
Payne.
Well, I don't think GTA 5 is going to sell poorly by
no,
any stretch.
No, it's going to be the number one, I think. There's a slim chance that, like, Call of Duty squeaks it out, but they only have, like, a month to the end of the year as well. Whereas GTA has that whole fall season to just fucking rack up sales.
And assuming it's the same quality as the previous GTA or Red Dead.
Yeah, it's
going to do well.
Rockstar just... I feel like Rockstar's quality of their games has only gone up since GTA 4, so...
I buy their games on spec. I don't even care what the game's about anymore.
It's like, even our friend Aaron, who doesn't buy a lot of games, he buys Rockstar games because you're like, how are they going to push the industry forward this time, you know? Like, they don't sit on their laurels like with Call of Duty, where it's just, okay, it's the same thing every year, you know?
I hadn't played any of the Max Payne games, but Max Payne 3 was a Rockstar game, and I bought it. Because it was a Rockstar game.
That's probably the only one I have not bought. And
that is also their worst-selling game in a long time.
It's really bad, but, like, that's probably, I mean, L.A. Noire, Day 1, Red Dead, Day 1. Red Dead Redemption sold more than expected Day 1. It sold out right away. I think GTA 5 is going to be a big hit, big, big hit.
Yeah, wow.
Mark my words. My crystal ball is flawless. Trust me, guys.
You're rubbing it there, shining
it
up.
Yeah.
Keep rubbing it, Jeff. I know you like to rub it. Just keep rubbing those balls.
We got any other news?
No, that was all I had.
That was it. I believe we have some questions.
We do.
I don't have any.
I have some.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. This question comes from Brian. Brian wants to know, what's the new website? Vagary.tv related, or is there an ounce of quality going into it?
Ooh.
Hashtag O burn.
Ouch. That hurts. That hurts my soul.
Well, we're not ready to discuss that yet, but it's not Vagary related, right?
No, it's not. It's a new website, with our handsome faces all over it. So enjoy.
Yeah.
We'll be announcing in the near future.
Yeah.
This question is my fault too, because I was trying to.
I
accidentally tweeted from Critically Sane. I was like, oh fuck.
I was like, okay, I guess it's safe to follow them now, because I wasn't following them because I was trying to be all secret. But I'm like, all right, I'll follow them now. It's okay.
What else we got?
Let's see. Fozzie the Gamer asks one word to Hefe. Problems with a question mark.
Problems? I'm very disappointed in Fozzie. I sent him a picture today and he didn't respond to it.
So, I think he's talking about the Xbox thing.
No problems. Like, that's good. You know, it makes me more happy about the fact that one day I probably will get one, you know.
Does this change your thinking at all? Personally, because I know Chris and I are both sold already. Our mind either way.
To me, I still think in the long run, Sony supports more interesting software that caters more to me. But that said, I do want to play Halo, and I would like to play Dead Rising.
So next year you'll have an Xbox One.
Pretty much.
Next holiday. Like, maybe you don't get it the first year, but next
holiday.
No, I won't. You'll be like, get five, bitches!
I will get one right away, and it'll probably be... Well, if I... I will have a PS4 by February next year, right? But the Xbox One, it's some point, but, no problems. But I did send Fozzie a picture of a book. I went to a hot dog place by me, and they had a book on the counter that for sale. Like, you buy it, it says, the book is called Never Put Ketchup on a Hot Dog by Bob Schwartz. And Fozzie apparently didn't like it, because he didn't respond to the picture. So I throw the question back to Fozzie. Problems?
All right, what other questions we got?
Gigawatt Conduit asks, what would make the X-Bone an easy buy for you? I think already it's an easy buy for me. The Xbox 360 was an easy sell for me, too. Simply because, I mean, it's the successor to the console I play the most.
You could have went that way with PS2. I know most people...
But I didn't have a PlayStation or a PS2, so...
Neither did I.
So, like, I went from my Nintendo 64 to the Xbox. I didn't get into Sony. And then from Xbox, I moved right to 360. Like, the PlayStation never entered my mindset.
I think if they throw me a bone with a platformer, something like Conker or Banjo, and more indie support, then it's an easier buy. Like, you throw out Conker, I'll buy it. The day Conker comes out for Xbox One, I'll buy that motherfucker. So, but I don't see that happening.
Like, you look at the games, though, so far, like, Halo 5, Titanfall, like, I have to
those
play
those.
Those
are great. Yeah.
I have to play them. There's no game that they've announced so far for Sony that I feel like I have to play. Like, the sequel to Infamous 2, which I didn't finish because I got bored.
Killzone
game?
I did get more excited for Killzone after hearing some people talk about that, you know, they've changed it up. It's not just a straight corridor shooter anymore. So it sounds like it's going to be more like Halo, like a little more open, sandboxy combat area. That sounds kind of cool, but it's still Killzone.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Like, I've already bought into the Halo universe, and
right. There
has yet to be a Halo game that wasn't outstanding.
Yeah, it's always just really fun and really well
Whereas
done.
There have been Killzone games for just like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three in particular.
Three, and the first one.
But the first one was, yeah. Killzone 2 I thought was really good, and it did some really cool things for multiplayer, but I'm more excited about Infamous, hearing people say that it's a huge improvement over 2. The game I'm most excited for the PS4, I don't even know when it's coming out. Like, the Order, was it 1886?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what it really is, because
it doesn't really exist.
Right. It's not.
Yeah. And they've said that, too. I mean, they have a trailer, they have a concept, they're working on the engine, but the game itself doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. I mean, like, what they showed, like, the idea of, like, the steampunk London setting seemed really cool, but, I mean... That's kind of telling for me on the Sony side is like the exclusive I'm most excited for doesn't really exist yet.
Right. And I cut this from news because I couldn't tell whether this was actually a story or not. But there was a lot of talk about The Last Guardian this past week. Another big Sony game that they showed off at E3 and just has never panned out. And the head of Sony America had said that the game was on hiatus. And of course, Sony's higher ups back in Japan, you know, this isn't the case. They're still, you know, it's in active development. And then they proceeded not to tell what that actually meant. But you just kind of wonder when Sony's out there announcing games, whether the games actually exist, whether there's anything behind them, because they've done this so often now.
Right. I know that Sony will produce stuff that I will want to play. But when that happens, we'll see. Like,
right. And it always makes me wait and see on Sony stuff. It's like, you know, I like the stuff that actually comes out when it comes out, but it right. makes me hesitant to hop out there and say, oh, sure, I'll buy your system so that I can play this game, because I'm not sure that game will ever exist.
Well, some of it, too. Like, I mean, the developers that I find the most intriguing for Sony, Naughty Dog, Polyphony, who does Gran Turismo, and Quantic Dream, who did Heavy Rain.
Right.
I mean, say what you will about that game, like they're at least they make interesting software that like should be experienced. All three of those developers are releasing games this year, so nothing on the
right.
PS4 for the next year to 18 months at the best. Like, I mean, and there are the three developers for me that like. When I think Sony, like, all right, what are these three doing?
And I'm guessing part of that's by design, right? I mean, they've been developing games for the PS3. They've mastered the console.
Right, right.
And they don't want to be on the leading edge of... Because, let's be honest, I mean, as great as games like Rise and whatever look, the first games that come out for a console are never the best.
They're launch games. I mean, yeah, they're going to be launch games. Dead Rising 3 looks great, but really it's probably going to be... It's going to play like a last-gen game with fancier tech inside.
Right, and it's going to have tech issues because, well, I mean, there's no way they've worked everything out yet. It's not possible.
Right, so, I mean, like, that's a game I'm really looking forward to playing, but, yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, these are launch games. They're going to play like that, which is why I'm really kind of happy Titanfall is, going to be...
Not until next year. Halo's not until next year.
It's not a launch title?
Yeah, no. Titanfall's a launch title. Titanfall and Destiny are both next spring, so... yeah. like I'm kind of glad that they're actually going to have more time to work on it. And from what I hear about Titanfall, like, they're really kind of taking advantage of what the Xbox One has to offer with the, the cloud computing and everything, where it actually will enhance how the game plays to the point where they're saying, the Xbox One is kind of their lead platform on this, where they're also making it for PC, but they're saying the Xbox One, it will have all, like, the bells and whistles. That's kind of cool to me. But they're going to need time to play around with it, right? Like... And get it all to work.
Right. I think the early, launch games tend to be so awful for any system. Like, one of the reasons I picked Xbox One over PS4, to buy first is that I use my Xbox for so many things that aren't gaming related. And Xbox seems to have done a better job of emphasizing those things in their run up to their console.
Right. Just to answer Justin's question, I don't think that, we're really, Tony and I are sold on the Xbox One already,
right.
But, I mean, what's kind of keeping me away from the PS4, and I am getting one of them as well, but what's keeping me from, jumping all in on them is their network. I know Xbox Live works. I have no fear that they will continue that going forward. PSN for me is still a huge question mark, and as somebody that likes to play, online multiplayer games, I can't have that question mark there.
Right.
So I'm gonna be getting Battlefield on the Xbox One. I'm gonna get Watch Dogs probably on Xbox One. Stuff where I need to play online.
It's optimized for PS4, Watch Dogs.
That's what they're saying, but
yeah.
I've heard that stuff all over the place. in terms of optimization for a particular console.
It never seems to
work out that way.
It's going to be best for Wii U where you're getting it, right? Yeah.
Well, that's where, right now, there's a chance, slim chance, if I get PS4 at launch, that will be the only launch title I get.
By the way, Jeff, so you were going to buy all these games for the Wii U. Where did that go? What happened?
What?
Your plan was to buy every multi-console release on the Wii U, and I just don't see that materializing. What's going on?
Well, there haven't been that many multi-console releases.
Like, if BioShock and Tomb Raider were on Wii U, I would have definitely bought it on Wii U. Like, it would have been, those games would have been great on it, but what the fuck, man? No, it has not panned out.
what was the last multi-console? Was it Injustice, right? That was the most recent one.
A game that Jeff is certainly interested in.
Right. that's not a Jeff game.
Very sad. Like, I would have gladly had BioShock and Tomb Raider on Wii U, because, like, even though Tomb Raider has a multiplayer component, who gives a fuck, right?
But I think Tomb Raider would have played fine on it.
No, it would have been great. Like, but no.
BioShock and Tomb Raider both would have played fine on the Wii U. I mean, they would have looked about comparable, maybe slightly better, but I don't think it would have played any worse. For me, like, those types of games, I prefer the Xbox control. That's another reason, like, for me with the Xbox, like, I prefer that stick setup. I like the triggers. Like, I really like the Xbox controller.
By the way, I have some late breaking news.
Okay.
George Zimmer, the founder of Men's Warehouse, has been fired by Men's Warehouse.
Okay.
Was he wearing ladies' clothing?
They didn't say why he was fired, but it's like, dude, he was like the founder. He was the guy that guaranteed that you're gonna like the way you look.
I guarantee.
Maybe people don't like the way they look.
Was he the guy in
anymore.
The commercials too?
I guess.
Place? Was that him?
Yeah.
And he's been fired?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
This changes everything.
Yeah, it's changing the game right there.
Alright, well. Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
That's it. Next time I have to buy a suit, I'm going somewhere else.
Right? Fuck Men's Warehouse. How dare you fire George Zimmer?
Except they do those, like, 2-for-1 sales.
Mm-hmm. Men's Warehouse is pretty awesome, yes. I think.
Suits are expensive, too. You know,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever shopped at a Men's Warehouse before.
Really? You never got a suit from them?
I don't think so.
I have. They're not bad, either. Like Tony says, they give you those deals where, like, you're like, alright, I'm spending a shit ton of money anyways, so I guess I will get the second one half off or whatever.
Right, you might as well get two.
It's really weird too, cause, according to this news report here, it says Men's Warehouse reported that its, first quarter profit increased 23%.
So, I'm assuming there was some reason unrelated to profit.
Yeah, I wonder if he, like, dropped his pants in the middle.
He's got a hard drive full of child porn and shit. We just don't know about it yet.
She's running around the office naked.
Something terrible happened.
He took casual Fridays to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Where he was just having sex with his secretary on the desk.
Whoops.
It's not casual sex Friday?
What other questions we got?
Ion What asks, with Microsoft backpedaling, did we just lose what could have been the next Steam on consoles?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing about Steam, though. Steam offers a great service. They were hated when they were offered, but the fact is that everybody had a PC anyway.
Right.
When you look at a console, I mean, you have to actually buy the damn thing to have access to the services it provides.
Steam is the closest comparison because of games, but I don't think it's an accurate comparison to what was happening with what Microsoft was trying to do. Microsoft was trying to create kind of what Apple has with iTunes.
Right.
Which is more of a walled garden device. Everything that, like, software, movies, music, all plays on this device. Like, it doesn't feed out to, like, it doesn't feed out other places.
Right.
And
I think they failed to create the demand for that device before they instituted their mandate in terms of their services.
Right, because they they came out and they did a bad job of kind of getting their message out there, where they were just like all over the place and they got hit with bad press and like it.
And you have to look at their like their launch event and their E3 presentation, very Apple-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were definitely trying to invoke that same sort of feeling.
Yeah,
they just didn't achieve it.
But no, I don't think we lost what could have been the next Steam, because one, like, you have to remember that Steam is an open marketplace. Like, yes, we all use it, but I can also turn around and get my game off of Origin. Or, right. Not that I would want to, but I could. I could get my game off of GOG. I can get my game off of, what's that one that?
Gamersgate, I use.
Yeah.
Something.
So like, there are multiple other kind of storefronts for this, kind of just like now where you're like, okay, I'm gonna walk into Walmart or Target or Best Buy or GameStop or, you know, wherever and pick up a stuff. Like, Microsoft was trying to create a closed environment. So, no, I don't think that we lost what could have been the next Steam.
I think getting to a point where you are Steam forces you to already be ubiquitous in terms of your appearance in households. Like, you have to be everywhere to begin with.
Right.
And Microsoft, I mean, they might be there with the 360, but the 360 isn't capable of doing what they were trying to achieve with the Xbox One. So they have to first get in everybody's houses. And I just think by instituting this DRM mandate and getting all the backlash they did, they back off because they need to be in the house first. They need to create that sort of environment first in order to achieve that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, Justin D. Whatever he. What is Justin's last name? I don't even know. Anyway,
secret.
You think the games that are exclusive, I think he means, will now appear on other systems like Titanfall?
I think they will, for the most part.
I'm going to go with they won't. I think that Microsoft, in making this attempt, has, if nothing else, endeared themselves with publishers.
I don't know. Like, dude,
I think they've already spent a lot of money on building these publisher relationships, but at this point, they kind of sold out to them. And I think they'll get a lot of goodwill, if nothing else, for making the effort and probably for attempting to go out in that direction in the future. And publishers will expect that. So they're going to get these exclusives. They're probably going to get more of them. These exclusive deals are going to exist.
I don't know, like, there's gotta be a length of the contract, like, where, I've seen this a couple of people, like, Mass Effect 1 came out on PS3 eventually, like,
oh,
that
right.
Happened.
Well,
it
could happen, you're right.
That's Jeff. A Microsoft game, pretty much, like, they published it, you know.
Well, right, and then EA bought the rights to the franchise or whatever, they worked it out, but ultimately that game sold shit on that system, like.
Right.
Well, it sold it as part
I,
of
I think years shit. After the fact, that doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
I think down the road, it could happen.
It could. Everything that Respawn has said right now is that it's not. They did leave it open that it's possible that they might go that way at some point, but they've been very adamant that, like, the game has been designed to use Microsoft's, specifically Microsoft's cloud functionality.
Right.
It uses the Azure setup. That's not something Sony has to offer at this point. So,
and I think one of the advantages that Microsoft has that Sony doesn't is their larger corporate infrastructure is much more successful. So they have more room for error, and they also have more access to cash in these situations. So they can buy off these partnerships a lot easier than Sony can, because Sony's been losing money for the past several years. And for reasons that have nothing to do with PlayStation.
Right. Sony's game division is actually pretty solid. It's everything else in Sony that is kind of shitty. And that does feed into exactly how many resources Sony can allocate to, you know, go after stuff like this. Whereas Microsoft kind of has this giant well of money right now that they can toss up in the air at whatever they want.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a chance you see Titanfall and Dead Rising.
I think there's more of a chance you see Dead Rising than Titanfall.
But definitely, Dead Rising never hit PS3.
There's no chance that you'll see Halo, though. How about
no,
that?
None. Well, no. Microsoft, I mean, that
I'm going to go out on a limb.
You're going to go out on a limb and say there's no chance for Halo.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there's no chance for Uncharted on Microsoft's platform either. So.
Which, oddly, we haven't heard for PS4 yet.
Yeah. I mean, there were rumors that it was supposed to be at E3, but they did not show it because Naughty Dog didn't want it overshadowing their game that was coming out that week. I don't know how accurate that would be.
That sounds kind of weird.
Right, especially since their game's already going to be out. So it's like,
right.
And you're going to show a trailer for a game, much like Microsoft did with Halo, like you'd just be showing us, you know, that this is where it's going. We're going to eventually have Uncharted.
Right. I mean, maybe they don't have anything to show at this point. And I think the big thing with an Uncharted game is the storytelling and the voice acting. And if the game would be that early in development, maybe that stuff wouldn't exist yet. They don't have anything to show.
Right. Like, and honestly, like, ooh, look, Halo's there. Like, was anybody really overwhelmingly impressed by the Halo reveal? Like,
I thought it was Journey until, like...
Right, well, I mean, it was like...
The hood came off and you're like, oh, look, it's Master Chief.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah. What was that? Right.
The guy's owner.
But one, like, you kind of expected Halo, right? Like, it's Microsoft.
It had to be somewhere,
Halo.
Right?
And two, like, didn't really show anything new.
It's not right. Even called Halo 5. It's just right now it's Halo.
Halo
for a new system.
Right. It has to be called Halo 5, right?
I don't know. There was a Halo Reach, and God, why can't I remember?
If you're smart,
yes.
If it's smart, it's Halo 5.
Well, I mean, like,
that's the way to go, dude. Like,
when they announced Halo 4, it was announced as a new trilogy. I mean, do you do Halo 4 colon? Like, I mean,
yeah, don't, please don't.
Right. I mean, you want a new thing for
new
entry.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right? Anything else in?
Justin also asks, "Fuck Xbox. When are you doing a spoiler cast on The Last of Us?"
I don't know if we will. Like, one, I'm like 2.5 hours in, 26%, so, I mean, if it stays at that rate, I still have to put another like 8 or 9 hours into the game to finish it. I'm not playing it very fast. Jeff, you're not playing it very fast.
I'm at a very slow clip, yeah.
Tony hasn't played it yet.
Right.
Don stopped playing it, I think. I don't like, or he's about where I am. I don't know.
I don't think any of us love it. I think that's the problem. It's not really my type of game.
I think it's good, but yeah, it's not. I'm not blown away by it.
You never know. Like, the story could go really good places. You never know. Like,
did you read Brian's tweet?
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I saw it just now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of expect a pretty interesting ending to the story, but you never know.
One can hope.
Yeah.
I hope that Brian's a little off with that. Like, if it's really just this one story note that it stays with for 15 hours.
Even that I wouldn't agree with, because, like, they do introduce stuff in it, I guess fairly early on, so he could be right. But still.
Right, like, if at this point, like, if it's just the same note from where I'm at now for 15 more hours. And it is a draining game. He's fully accurate on that. I could find it being very annoying.
Yeah,
I'm not sure there's going to be a spoiler cast, but we'll see.
Do you guys find yourselves? I find myself doing this when the game is draining. I find myself quitting. Like, if I get to a hard part, it doesn't matter how much I like the game. I just find myself.
I've done that a ton with this game.
You just want to stop and not play it anymore, right? Yeah.
Like, I'll play for 20 minutes. I'm like, all right, that's good. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I have two polar opposites right now, and I'm like, I'm like, all right, I could just go play Animal Crossing where, like, I will just wander around and fucking do shit, like, with no plan, and it'll be awesome.
Like, I would rather sit for hours with Crusader Kings 2 than play a game that's really draining for 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting out of this game. Like, it's not bad by any means. It really isn't. Like, especially if you're into, like, stealth shit, you might really, really dig it, but I'm not into that.
Not sure I'd go with it. It's not bad by any means, but
I don't think it's bad. I don't like, even the only thing I'd say is bad is the hit detection within 5 feet. Other than that, it's fine.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure we're gonna do a spoiler cast though, Justin. Sorry.
I'll do it for Superman.
Yeah, I think that might happen.
Yeah, Tony, go see it. It's good.
Go see it. All right.
It's really good.
One day. I love it.
And Jeff doesn't like the director, so that's it.
Yeah, I don't like Zack Snyder, and I think I told you, Chris, last night, I liked it more than Dark Knight Rises and The Avengers. I thought it was better than both of those.
I saw someone else tweet that today, too, that they liked it more than Avengers.
Yeah, to me, Avengers is way overrated. It was funny and it was fun, but it was not, like, there was this whole middle section that was just plotting, and then...
I think the end of Man of Steel could...
It could have been tightened, but yeah. I was never like, oh, I'm bored. Like, and I'm, like, the action in the movie is incredible.
Yeah,
the whole end, it's really good.
They finally do what I've always kind of wanted out of a Superman movie.
It's like a dream sequence where it's just like it hits someone and they go flying like 50 fucking miles. Through a building and shit, and you're like, yes!
But it's always been the problem of Superman movies where, you know, he's fighting Lex Luthor or he's fighting a tinfoil robot or, like, he's never fighting things that are on the same level as he is. So it's always kind of, you know, gimmicks and rather boring where he's just, like, lifting rocks and shit. They finally, like, actually have him going up against beings that are as strong as he is, and it really works. Really fucking well.
Each hit spans miles. Like, when they fly into each other, they just go flying, dude, like, through buildings and whatnot. It's so cool. Really underrated movie, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, so. People should go see that. Jeff and I will work up some sort of cast for a spoiler cast for Movie Dudes, so.
Also... We're going to pour one out for James Gandolfini.
Yeah, I heard that. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't all that old, so...
He wasn't old.
You need to take care of yourself. You need to, like, exercise and eat well. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of fucked up to see that. But, like, dude, that guy was a great actor. Like, I loved him in that movie that just came out called Killing Him Softly. He was so funny in it. I'm upset about it. And there were people coming in tonight that were, like, depressed about it. Like, you know what happened? You ever watch The Sopranos? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. Like, there were people coming into work talking about it to me. I'm like, yeah, I know. It really sucks, man. He's really awesome. But.
Well, I guess we'll leave on that death note.
Yeah.
Great. Jeff, say something happy.
At least they finished The Sopranos, sort of.
There's that.
I like your tweet with the picture, like of the black screen.
I put that on Facebook. It has likes. It has like so many fucking likes. You used to watch The Sopranos?
Yeah.
It has 9 likes already on Facebook. I'm like, this is my tribute to James Gandolfini.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week. Who knows? Sony could come out and say, haha, it was all a joke.
Yeah, right.
We could have nothing.
Who knows where we're going?
We have your money, and we're actually not releasing a console.
I think the funniest thing, how many game journalists do you guys follow on Twitter? Because I follow a bunch. I think the funniest thing about this week was them whining about how there was still news going on even though E3 was over.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't it stop? Why are you doing this to me? Like, aw.
huge, pro- props to Patrick Klepek at Giant Bomb, though, for kind of breaking that story early. And,
yeah.
I mean, people were like, oh, this isn't going to happen, and then it totally happened. And, I mean, that dude does actual journalism in
games.
He
broke it. Yeah, he broke it before.
And he broke the Infinity Ward story as well, if you remember when that all went down, when they fired Vince Zampella and whoever the other guy was, Jason West. When all that went down, he broke that story as well. So, if there's anybody in games journalism that actually does research and does actual reporting, sourcing and all that, it's him. Like, so you give Giant Bomb a go and read some of his shit, because it's really good. All right, yeah, I have no idea I don't think anything's coming out next week.
Except Company of Heroes 2. Play that.
Company of Heroes 2, and actually there's a free Spartacus game on Xbox Live. I don't know what the hell it is.
Sign me up.
There's like a 3-minute trailer. It's so fucking absurd.
It's going to be bad, but let's play it.
It looks awful. It looks so, so bad, but yeah, we should play it. I'm sure there's free achievements, so... And it is free to play, so maybe we'll play some of that. And who knows, maybe something else will come out. I'm not sure. Jeff, anything coming out next week?
I don't think so.
Company of Heroes 2, buy it, because it's the only game that's out next week.
Just buy that.
All right. And outside of that, we'll be back next week to, I don't know, maybe we'll just bullshit all week. Who the fuck knows? An announcement coming soon. I know we keep promising that, but there is one coming.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Tony evidently kind of spoiled it already a little bit.
My bad!
Official announcement coming soon. We'll explain everything about what's going on with Vagary and what's going on with us and whatnot. But right now you can go read, my review of Grid on Vagary. It's not very good, so.
It's not very good. The game or your review?
My review.
Okay.
The game's not very good either.
You lazy ass.
Yeah, I was. I phoned that one in, totally. Alright, say goodnight, Jeff.
Goodnight, Jeff.
Alright.